going to take a look tonight at Pirkei Avos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yud Ches, Chapter 3, Mishnah 18. Again, in the shiurim we've been giving by phone, so we went over this Mishnah last week. So I want to reiterate, take a second look back at this Mishnah, but also share a particularly unusual and I think interesting discussion that emerges from the Mefarshim on this particular Mishnah. Just to reiterate the Mishnah is the second of four Mishnayos that are authored by Rabbi Akiva. And we're told, in the Art School Hebrew English, this is the top of page 562, Hu Haya Omer, he, Rabbi Akiva, used to say, Chaviv Adam Shenivra Betzelem, beloved is man because he was created in God's image. Chiba Yisera no daslo shenivra b'tselem. A special extra measure of love was made known to him that he was created in the image of God. Shenemar ki b'tselem elokim asa asa adam. The pasuk says that God created man in the image of God. And then Chaviv in Yisrael, beloved are the Jewish people. Shenikru banim lamakom, they are called children of the Almighty. Chiba Yisera no daslo hem shenikru banim lamakom, an extra measure of love was made known to them. Shenemar bonim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. And finally, Chaviv in Yisrael shnita lahem kli chemda. Beloved are the Jewish people that this wonderful instrument, this beloved instrument known as the Torah, was given to them. It goes on to say, Chiba yaseiru nodas lahem shnita lahem kli chemda. Shenemar ki lakachtov nosati lachem. Torosi al ta'azofu. So the Mishnah Rabbi Akiva speaks of three different elements of chavivus, of divine love. One that's expressed to Adam, one that is expressed insofar as Adam was created B'Tselem Elokim in the image of God. A second that's expressed to Yisrael, because they are called Bonim Lamakom, children of Hashem. And a third that's also expressed to Yisrael, insofar as they are recipients of the Kli Chemda, of the Torah HaKadosha, of this unusual and special instrument which HaKadosh Baruch Hu shared with Klal Yisrael. The discussion I want to focus on tonight is a fascinating discussion with regard to the first of these three statements. Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tselem, beloved is Adam, he was created in the Tselem Elokim, in the image of God. What exactly is this reference to Adam? So offhand, the simple pshat in the Mishnah would seem to indicate that Adam refers to humanity as a whole, in other words, specifically the non-Jewish world. Why do I say that's the simple pshat in the Mishnah? Because the next two stanzas go on to talk about Yisrael. Chaviv in Yisrael, shnikru banim lamakom, chaviv in Yisrael, shnitel hem kli chemda. So if the first stanza was just referring to Klal Yisrael, so you could have said Chaviv in Yisrael, Chaviv in Yisrael, Chaviv in Yisrael three times. Chaviv Adam seems to indicate that we're talking about the broader masses of the world. The entire world are created B'Tselem Elokim. Indeed, the psukim that describe man being created B'Tselem Elokim are psukim that are written in Chumash long before there's a Jewish people to speak of. Right, we're told in the very beginning of Bereishis that man is created B'Tselem Elokim, and we're told that that idea is reiterated after the Mabul, which is the pasuk which is quoted here in the Mishnah. Ki B'Tselem Elokim asa sa'adam. That's the rationale that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to Noach in explaining why you're not allowed to kill another human being. Shofech dam ha'adam, pa'adam damo yishofech. Interestingly, many Mefarshim take the position that Adam over here refers to the Jewish people specifically. Even though later on it says Chaviv in Yisrael, but Chaviv Adam, Shenivra B'Tselem, is also a reference to Klal Yisrael exclusively. How do you square that with the Pasuk? The Pasuk was written prior to the existence of Klal Yisrael. The Pasuk is a Pasuk that describes Kadosh Baruch Hu talking to Noah. So this line of thought says it's true that up until the advent of the Jewish people, all of mankind had Tzelem Elokim. After all, the concept of Tzelem Elokim, of being the image of God, is an idea that is put forward by the Torah in the very beginning of Sefer Bereishis, again, pre the existence of a Jewish people. But once Klal Yisrael were created, so Klal Yisrael now are considered to be B'Tselem Elokim, but the notion of being B'Tselem Elokim does not apply to the non-Jewish world. What would lead you to that conclusion based on the Mishnah? So those who advocate this position quote a famous Maimer Chazal. Chazal say, with reference to the Jewish people, Atem kruyim Adam, v'lo umos ha'olam kruyim Adam. You, Jewish people, are called Adam. The nations of the world are not referred to with that term, Adam. So if you put two and two together, in other words, if you extend the idea that Atem kruyim Adam defines the definition of Adam in every context, so Chaviv Adam shenivra b'tzelem would then mean beloved are those people who are referred to as Adam. They are created B'Tselem Elokim. Follow-up question, who's called Adam? Prior to the advent of Klal Yisrael, the entire world. But after the advent of Klal Yisrael specifically. Atem kruyim Adam, v'la umos ha'olam kruyim Adam. In contradistinction to that position, and we'll talk a little bit about who the who's behind that position, it's interesting to note over here a very very extensive comment of the Tosfos Yom Tov, and we'll follow that up with a very extensive comment of the Tiferes Yisrael. Both the Tosfos Yom Tov and the Tiferes Yisrael are commentaries that appear on the page of a standard Mishnayos. Let's first talk a little bit about the biography of the Tosfos Yom Tov. The Tosfos Yom Tov, who lived in Prague in the 1600s, was Rav Yom Tov Lipman Heller. He's famous for many, many things. One of the things that he's famous for, which I guess is relevant to our shul, is that in the aftermath of the Chmelnicki massacres, the Gzeres Tach V'Tat that swept through parts of Eastern Europe in 1648 and 1649, the Tosfos Yom Tov said that the fact that so many shuls were destroyed during the massacres was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's punishment for the fact that people would talk in shul. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you talk in my shul, so I'm going to destroy your shuls. And the Tosfos Yom Tov composed a special Mishaberach to give a bracha for those who wouldn't talk in shul. That was his reaction to the Gzeres Tach V'Tat. So we say that here, Shabbos by Mincha. I remember when we started saying it, one of the fellows in the shul came over to me very, very seriously, and he said, you know, you're making a Mishaberach for all the people who don't talk in shul, but it's really not right. What about making a Mishaberach for all the other people who do talk in shul? It's not right. You've got to favor these people and not those people. It's not equitable. Okay? Not really sure what the answer is to that question, but you could think about it maybe a little bit. Al-Kopanim, that's one of the things associated with the Tosfos Yom Tov. But I think what the Tosfos Yom Tov perhaps is more famous for is this commentary on the Mishnayos, known as Tosfos Yom Tov. What's the origin of that commentary? Very, very interesting history behind the commentary. The famous Maharal of Prague, who was really the Rebbe of the Tosfos Yom Tov in many ways, the Maharal, based on a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos at the end of the fifth Perek, was a big advocate for people learning Mishnayos. He was very, very perturbed by the phenomena which existed in Prague then, and to be honest, really exists today in Klal Yisrael, that Cheder children would start learning, and they would learn a little bit of Mishnayos, and then after learning a little bit of Mishnayos, they'd jump straight into the Gemara, and they'd be learning Gemara from a young age, and they'd never really master Mishnayos properly. And the Maharal was very critical of that, because the Maharal said, you know, Chazal teach us that the proper way to learn is first to learn all of Tanakh, then to learn all of the Mishnayos, and then when you have a foundation in the basics, then you can go on to learn Gemara. If you're not going to have a foundation in the basics, you're not going to be able to learn Gemara properly. So he advocated for a back-to-basics approach to education. The Tosfos Yom Tov took his words very, very much to heart, and he was involved in starting Chevro Mishnayos in the city of Prague, Chevros Mishnayos in the city of Prague. He started groups, learning groups for adults to learn Mishnayos. And in giving these shiurim, he would share with the people a little bit of a tamsis, an essence, a summary of what the Gemara had to say with regard to these Mishnayos and some discussion. Eventually he wrote up those shiurim, and that became the Tosfos Yom Tov on the Mishnayos, that he was sharing all of these insights that he had in the Mishnayos that he had gained from giving all of these shiurim, you know, to the Balabatim, so that they should learn Mishnayos, because, you know, you can't abandon the Mishnayos. So the Tosfos Yom Tov, as we saw, was a tremendous Talmud of the Maral of Prague, to the point where he basically devoted his life to carrying out the educational program of the Maral of Prague. Why is that significant? Well, because among others, the Maharal of Prague, in his commentary to Tiferes Yisrael, to Pirkei Avos, advocates for the commentary that says that Adam in this context means the Jewish people. Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem means that Klal Yisrael were created with Tzelem Elokim, and non-Jews are not created with Tzelem Elokim. That was the position of the Maral of Prague, as in this Mishnah. Comes the Tosfos Yom Tov, again, the Talmud of the Maral of Prague, and he comments as follows. He first quotes Rashi. Rashi has a commentary on Pirkei Avos. Rashi says, what does it mean that Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem, what does it mean that man is beloved, that he was created in the image of God? So writes Rashi, Lochein mutol olav la'asos ritzon kono. The fact that you're created B'Tzelem Elokim doesn't simply mean that you have bragging rights. Ha ha, I was created in the image of Hashem, I must be somebody special. It's not about bragging rights. B'Tzelem Elokim means you have responsibilities, says Rashi. What's your responsibility? If you were created B'Tzelem Elokim, it means that you have an obligation to follow the will of Hashem. How does that follow? So the Tosfos Yom Tov explains Rashi as follows. He asks the question, what is B'Tzelem Elokim? What does it mean that we're created in the image of God? Right? I mean, obviously it doesn't mean that we're physically created in the image of God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ein lo guf, Ein lo dmus haguf. He doesn't have a body, he doesn't have an appearance. You know, so what does it mean that we're created B'Tzelem Elokim? So he quotes, the Tosfos Yom Tov quotes from the Rambam and Moreh Nevuchim. Well, the Rambam and Moreh Nevuchim says the concept of B'Tzelem Elokim means that you have a deep understanding. You have a certain kind of intelligence that other creatures which don't have B'Tzelem Elokim lack. Putting two and two together, the Tosfos Yom Tov says what the Rambam really means is that B'Tzelem Elokim means you have moral intelligence. You have the ability to choose between what's right and what's wrong, right? And therefore, that's what Rashi means as well over here, says the Tosfos Yom Tov. If people are created B'Tzelem Elokim, it means that they're given moral intelligence, they can discern the difference between right and wrong, and since you can discern the difference between right and wrong, it means you have an obligation to do what's right. In contrast, let's say you were a squirrel. A squirrel does not have B'Tzelem Elokim. What does it mean it doesn't have B'Tzelem Elokim? Again, according to the Rambam would say that a squirrel lacks the ability to make moral and ethical judgments. He doesn't have that kind of intelligence. So mimela, you know, if the squirrel is going to run over to you and steal your sandwich, you can't come to the squirrel with a taina. Aye, lo signo, if you're not allowed to steal. The squirrel doesn't know from stealing. The squirrel just knows that he wants dinner. So in other words, the idea of B'Tzelem Elokim means that you have a moral intelligence, you have an ethical intelligence, and then that obligates you in turn to do the right thing. Yeah. Right, so what we're going to try to get to is that the machlokas as to whether non-Jews have B'Tzelem Elokim, I think stems directly from how you define what B'Tzelem Elokim is. Meaning, I believe, in the end of the day, there's not too much of a practical difference between the two points of view. Depending on what you define as being B'Tzelem Elokim, you have a different view as to whether a non-Jew has that or not. Right. So in other words, I'll suggest this, but we'll see as we go out a little bit. You know, I think the positions that hold that non-Jews are not created B'Tzelem Elokim have a different definition of what that means. And mimela, you know, the psukim that relate the idea of B'Tzelem Elokim to Shvichas Damim have to be understood in a somewhat different fashion. In other words, it's agreed upon you're not supposed to go around killing non-Jews, right? So again, I think a lot of this comes down to definition of terms as opposed to being a real difference in practicality in terms of, you know, what we're supposed to be doing or thinking or, you know, attitude or the like. So, but I'll elaborate as we go on. Putting this together, so the Tosfos Yom Tov says Tzelem Elokim means moral intelligence. Having a Tzelem Elokim means that you therefore have an obligation to do what's morally right. And says the Tosfos Yom Tov, that applies to non-Jews as well as Jews. Because in other words, non-Jews, he says, have the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. They have a moral code that may not be as extensive as the moral code that Klal Yisrael has. You know, we have 613 mitzvahs, but they have seven mitzvahs. They have an obligation to follow those seven mitzvahs. The only way you can say that they have an obligation to follow mitzvahs of any sort is to say that they have a Tzelem Elokim, because Tzelem Elokim, an obligation in mitzvahs, goes hand in hand, says the Tosfos Yom Tov. He adds the following very interesting line. He says that not only do non-Jews have an obligation to keep the Shiva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, but we as Jews have an obligation to encourage the non-Jews of the world to keep Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. In his words, Bo Rebbe Akiva Lahayshir L'chol Boi Ha'olam. Rebbe Akiva is coming here in this statement when he says, Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem. He's coming to tell the nations of the world to straighten them out, you know, to get them on the right path. Lahamshich libam el ritzon kona v'chefes tsuram v'shehem chavivin shenivru b'tzelem lahoros nosan belibam. Rabbi Akiva has a message when he says chaviv adam shenivru b'tzelem. He's really, in a sense, proselytizing to the nations of the world, and he's telling them, you're created in the image of God, but don't pat yourselves on the back. What that means is that you have to keep the Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach. In other words, that's the whole point of the statement, says the Tosfos Yom Tov. There are those who say that Adam in this context means Jews and not non-Jews. Right? So says the Tosfos Yom Tov, I think that's not a correct interpretation. Whatever Chazal meant when they say that Jews are called Adam, but not non-Jews, that was a very narrow statement, which you can't then apply to every single time in Chazal when it says the word Adam. Here, Adam means humanity. Without naming the person that he's arguing on, the Tosfos Yom Tov is basically arguing on his Rebbe, on the Maharal of Prague. It's the Maharal of Prague who said in this Mishnah that Adam means Jews, not non-Jews. And the Tosfos Yom Tov, again, he doesn't want his name as Rebbe by name, presumably, but he says, those who say that Adam means, Jews exclusively, not non-Jews, are misunderstanding what this mission is talking about. Very, very interesting example. The Maharal of Prague gave his life to the Tosfos Yom Tov gave his life, you know, dedicated his life to fulfilling the educational program of the Maharal of Prague. But in this particular case, at least, he said he didn't think that the Maharal of Prague was right in the interpretation of the Mishnah. Now, just to come back to a point I mentioned before, I don't think it's the case that there's really that much of a practical difference between the Tosfos Yom Tov on the one hand, the Maharal of Prague on the other hand. In other words, do non-Jews have a Tzelem Elokim? I mean, that would sound on the surface like, wow, that's a really fundamental, you know, issue to figure out. I think it's perhaps less practical than one thinks, because I think the question as to whether non-Jews have a Tzelem Elokim ultimately comes down to the question of what is a Tzelem Elokim. Based on the Rambam, the Tosfos Yom Tov defined a Tzelem Elokim as being moral intelligence. But there are other definitions of a Tzelem Elokim. Let's just share one, and it could very well be that this is what the Maharal of Prague is operating with. Reb Chaim Volozhin in his Nefesh HaChayim writes that the notion that we have a Tzelem Elokim means as follows. Just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates worlds, so too we create worlds as well. We create worlds. I mean, I'm a nice guy, you know, but I don't remember the last time I created a universe. What do you mean we create worlds? So says the Reb Chaim Volozhin as follows. Every time a Jew performs a mitzvah, it creates all kinds of spiritual worlds which then have an impact on the entire universe. In other words, according to Reb Chaim Volozhin, the concept of Tzelem Elokim is tied to the spiritual idea of being able to create spiritual realities through our mitzvahs. Now, while you could argue that that applies to non-Jews as well, through the performance of Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, it's easier to see how a view like Reb Chaim Volozhin could be related to Jews specifically. In other words, we believe that the power, the unique power of the mitzvos of Klal Yisrael is such that they're able to create all kinds of spiritual things through their mitzvos. For a non-Jew, mitzvos are important. The Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach are crucial and important, but they're less important in terms of their celestial impact and more important in terms of being able to create an ethical, moral, and just society. They don't quite have that oomph in the Olamos HaElyonim, in the upper realms, the way that mitzvos of Jews do. So, arguably, that position of Reb Chaim Volozhin in terms of understanding what a Tzelem Elokim is all about could go together with the Maral of Prague, who says that the concept of Tzelem Elokim is something which is uniquely Jewish as opposed to non-Jewish. Point being, you know, I don't think the Maral of Prague would disagree with the notion that moral intelligence, that ethical intelligence is something that's shared by all of humanity. It would be very hard to argue with that, because the point that Tosfos Yom Tov makes seems to be one which is beyond dispute. If you don't have moral intelligence, if you don't have ethical intelligence, obviously the whole concept of having mitzvos on any level, even Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach, doesn't make any sense. I can't tell somebody to do something if they lack the moral and ethical intelligence to be able to discern between what's right and what's wrong. There's a fascinating Tiferes Yisrael over here, which I think is worth sharing in part, and then I want to share an interesting insight from the Svarno that we'll wrap up here for tonight. The Tiferes Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael Lifshitz, wrote a commentary on the Mishnayos in the 1800s, and he very much sides with the Tosfos Yom Tov on this issue. He says, clearly, when Rabbi Akiva says Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem, Adam in this context refers not only to Jews, but to non-Jews as well. And he writes the following very, very strong Lashon. Obviously, the concept of Tzelem Elokim applies to non-Jews as much as it applies to Jews. Because as he says, do you think that Chazal would describe a non-Jew in animalistic terms? Furthermore, if one doesn't describe Tzelem Elokim to the non-Jewish world, so what does it mean when Hashem says to the to Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai, you'll be chosen for me from all of the nations? If the rest of the nations of the world are just like animals, so what meaning does it have when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, you'll be special and elevated from all of the nations, so you'll be better than behemoths, you'll be better than animals? That doesn't make any sense. And he goes on to write very, very beautifully that even had Chazal not told us that the nations of the world, that non-Jews have a Tzelem Elokim, we would know this just based on our own intelligence. Because look, he says, at the non-Jews who have brought so many wonderful things to the world. And he mentions, kehachosid yener, just like that righteous person yener. Who's that righteous person yener? So this is a reference to a contemporary of the Tiferes Yisrael, Edward Jenner, who was responsible, who was considered responsible for developing the vaccine against smallpox. Writes the Tiferes Yisrael, Edward Jenner was one of the righteous people of the world, and he's going to have a place in Olam Haba, a coveted place in Olam Haba, because his discovery of the vaccine against smallpox has saved the lives of millions of people. He writes further, the person who brought the potato back to Europe from America is one of the Chassidei Umos Ha'olam. I guess it's hard to make shalom without potatoes. But again, as we know, the Irish potato famine, right? The potato was a staple of certain diets back in Europe. It was something that was brought from the New World back to Europe. The exportation of the potato to Europe, the one who was behind that, was one of the Chassidei Umos Ha'olam. And he writes, Gutenberg, Johann Gutenberg, who created the printing press, is one of the Chassidei Umos Ha'olam, and certainly has a Tzelem Elokim, and certainly is going to merit Olam Haba. It's interesting, I think, with the exception of Edward Jenner, I don't know that we think of Gutenberg as being a particularly righteous person. We think that he, contributed greatly to history. But apparently the Tiferes Yisrael understands that somebody who contributes in a meaningful way to history and to the development of society and makes society better for people, Jewish or non-Jewish, is considered to be, from the Chassidei, a non-Jewish person who does so, is considered to be a pious person. If you help people out, you help build a bridge, you help eliminate a disease or something like that, that makes you a righteous person. Interesting. It's a very fascinating way of looking at the world. But in any case, the Tiferes Yisrael says that, certainly from that perspective, the concept of Tzelem Elokim is not limited to Klal Yisrael and would apply to the nations of the world as well. I'll just end with the following brief idea from the Sfarno in his commentary at the end of Parshas Vayishlach. Sfarno at the end of Parshas Vayishlach notes how Lavan gives a bracha to his family before departing from them, the family of Yaakov Avinu, his grandchildren. Why does the Torah tell us that Lavan, who's not exactly the nicest guy in Chumash, gives a bracha to his grandchildren? So the Sfarno writes, we see from here that every person has a Tzelem Elokim, and a Tzelem Elokim gives you the ability to give brachas. How is it that Chazal say even the lowliest person, Afilu Hegyot, has the ability to give brachas to others? Our ability to give brachas stems from our Tzelem Elokim, from the aspect of divinity that each of us has within us. And that, the Sfarno indicates, would apply even to somebody like a Lavan, who wasn't Jewish and wasn't exactly the greatest guy, but nonetheless, even a Lavan has the ability to give brachas because of the Tzelem Elokim which he has. Bez Hashem, we'll pick up tomorrow with a little more Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer.